Well, do you mind today if I just take a break from, I'm not going to say take a break from bringing the word, but I just want to talk to you a little bit today about the church. I don't want to talk to you about the land or the buildings or the way we started or any of that. I just want to talk to you about what we're about. You say, well, I think I know that. Well, I don't know that you do, but I do want to share some things to do today. For instance, thank you, Pastor Lindell. One day, and I love you on the piano, by the way. I love Isaiah assisting, too, but I love it when Pastor Lindell's on the keyboard. We had a man come one day, and he came in, he and his family, and he said, you know, Pastor Paulette, your church is just not what I thought it was. And I said, well, what did you think it would be? He said, I thought it was going to be a cowboy church. I thought it was country and western, and all you sung was country music, country gospel music. And I said, well, brother, where'd you just get that? Because I used to be in southern gospel music. And he said, no, because it's built like a barn. And so I thought, well, I wonder how many people think that I'm just an old cowgirl and we're all just a bunch of old cowboys out here hanging out. But I just wanted to tell you, you know why we built this barn? Because God said, gather my wheat into my barn. And at the ranch, yes, I did come off the cattle ranch. And my husband did build a big hay barn. And the barn held the hay. So I know what a hay barn does. It holds hay. And when I saw the scripture in Matthew that said, gather my wheat into my barn, then I heard him say, build me a barn to hold the souls of my men and women. Now, I'm getting ready to have a big banner made, and I'll put it right up here that says, gather my wheat into the barn. What do you think? And so if they want to come in and call us a cowboy church, we'll do that too. I don't care. But I just thought, well, if he wants to think that, there may be some others that think that online or wherever you are. So just let me tell you a little bit about Landmark. First of all, just let us pray together. Would you, wonderful Jesus, again, I just want to give you thanks. Father, first of all, for the call that is upon my life. I have been humbled. And Lord, I have been processed. And I have been blessed by this call. Lord, I've carried the mandate when it changed a little bit from evangelist to pastor, but Lord, I'm willing to carry the mandate, whatever it may be. And so, Lord, I thank you for these people. We've shared a whole lot of things together today, and I pray that you will keep my memory and mouth. There's so much I could talk about. Written some things down so I wouldn't be so scattered, but help me not to say things that don't need to be said, and help me to remember to say things that would be a blessing and that people need to hear. So, Lord, thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I certainly do thank him for the family of God and the assembly. And you know, whenever there is a church that is planted, then there has to be a people come to that church. And we took a chance. I mean, we opened it and I didn't have anybody. And so I'm not going to get into that. We'll save that for year 25. But we had, which comes church, the church or the people? Well, I got the building first, and then we opened with 51 people the first service. And so that's for another time. But we have shared so many things in this house. We've shared great speakers. We've shared bouts of outpourings. We have shared salvations. We've shared baptisms and weddings and baby dedications. We've shared so many things. And we've had good times and we've had bad times. And the way that me as a pastor, how I've handled some of the times where the hard times where people walk out of the church and leave. Some don't even tell you why they're leaving. Others do. But I want to say the things that kept me during that time. I'll be forever grateful to T.D. Jakes. One time he was doing a conference, a pastor's conference, and he said to us, pastors, he said, you've got to remember, you're just driving the bus. God built a house, and you just drive the bus. He said, there will be times where you'll pull that old bus over and you'll let some people get out. and then you'll move on down the road a ways, and then you'll pull over, and you'll open the door, and others will get on. And he said, there will be some that will ride this bus all the way into heaven with you. There will be some that will just ride it all the way until one of you are gone. But there will be those that come and those that go. And you know, that has really, really kept me over the years. So I'm just going to give you a little synopsis or a little picture of the church and what we're about. So let me just tell you real quickly what we believe. And for those of you online, these people hear it all the time. But we kept it simple. You see those two pillars? Those pillars mean strength and blessing. Boaz and David, or Boaz and Solomon. So let me just say the four pillars. We have four pillars that we stand on in this church. And so if somebody asks you, well, what does Landmark believe? I'm going to keep it really, really simple for you and tell you this. Of course, we believe in salvation by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. I need y'all to be with me this morning. Amen. We believe, number one, in salvation by the blood of Jesus. That's the first pillar. Number two, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we can go another step and be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Number three, we believe in divine healing, that God will heal us and that we can ask Him to heal us. So when they ask you, we believe in salvation, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we also believe that we can be healed by the blood of Jesus. And number four, we believe in the rapture of the church. We believe that Jesus is going to return and take His church out of here. So those are the four pillars that this church stands on. And it has caused us to be solid as a rock. It has caused us to be able to stand when a lot of churches would have been split right down the middle and tore up from the floor up. But we stood because I believe we're standing on the right foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Nobody else is that foundation but Him and those pillars of the church. Now we do believe in ordinances, and we do practice some of those. We practice communion together, the blood and the body of Christ. So we share communion together. We also believe in a water baptism. We baptize people. We baptize hundreds over the years since we've been here. We ordain people to preach. We've done that. We license people. We also believe in baby dedications. Now, let me tell some of you this that may ask. We dedicate babies. We don't baptize babies. Okay? I don't find scripture for that anywhere. So we do not baptize babies, but we dedicate them to the Lord by the scriptures, just like Jesus was dedicated and just like Hannah was dedicated, little Samuel. So Jesus is our example. One of the other things that we do, not a lot of churches do, and I haven't done it in a while, but we believe in the prayer cloth. We can't see a lot of things because we live by faith. We don't live by sight. But one of the things that we can see is communion. We see the juice. We see the bread that represents the body and the blood, but we can also see the little prayer cloth, and we just use that. We pray over those and give them to people, and that's in a whole another subject. And also, we believe in the spoken blessing. After church, I bless every one of you in the name of Jesus. We still believe in the spoken blessing. In fact, one of my sweet friends, pastor friends, a pastor's wife from Chapter, wrote to me this morning before church, knowing that we would celebrate today our anniversary, and blessed me. Pastor, I just bless you today, and it was the sweetest blessing, and she didn't even know how much I really believe in the blessing. I mean, I really do, and it's powerful. And every time a blessing is spoken over you, it's amazing. I was at Save Mart the other day, and I was over there by the salad area and the fruit and vegetable, and this man saw me and he said, "Bless you, Pastor." And I thought, my God, I got even blessed at the grocery store today. See, you take that into you. You take that for your health and for your mental blessing. And don't let a blessing pass you by. So we believe in the spoken blessing. Now, our mission You know, everything has a mission, and we haven't talked about our mission in a long time. It is on our website, landmark-christian.org. You can find it there, but we have little cards made up. And Anise, can you get that up? Can you show that, please? Our mission is this, to know, K-N-O-W. To know, the K stands for to know God intimately. No soul left behind. Our lives lived holy and walking in the will of God. Those are four more pillars that we stand on as our mission. Would you read those with me? Number one, the K is for what? Know God intimately. The N is for what?
No soul left behind.
The O is for what?
Our lives holy.
And the W is for what? It doesn't get any better than that, does it? So there you go, right there. So if you don't have one of those cards, you need to have it. Put it in your pocket. And maybe on the other side, Pastor Lynn, maybe we can make up one that would just have the four pillars, just in case you forget what we believe. Okay, I want to read to you Psalms 118:23. It was a verse that was read over us the first day that we started the church, our first service. And also it's song. And I remember Sister Helen sung it at our first year anniversary. And it's just a simple two-line verse. It said, this was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Could somebody say amen?
Amen.
This is the Lord's doing. It was his doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. I am going to have you turn in your Bibles. So I want to take a minute here in Acts 20:28, and I want to show you what I've stood on for years and what has been my blessing when things were topsy-turvy and things were not going so well. I've always remembered this and had it in my heart, and it has held me. Acts 20:28. Please look at this, and I pray that you will highlight it in your Bible or on your phone. So I believe this will help you too, because one day some of you may be pastoring or an evangelist or wherever you're going to be in ministry. Acts 20:28. Therefore, this is what he said to me in the beginning, from the first day. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church. Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So he told me to take heed to myself. He said, first of all, girl, you watch yourself. And you guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. And though you're pastoring, you can't point fingers at everybody else, because they all come back to you. So you've got to pay attention to yourself. I got that. Take heed to yourself. And then to all the flock, watch over them, pay attention. In Galatians chapter 4, and it said, if you see one taken in a fault, you go to them in meekness and try to restore that one. We've done that many, many times. Okay, so I'm just going to leave that right there. But he said, give attention to yourself and to the flock that the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer over. And look at this, it's so precious. Leave it up there a minute, niece. To care for the church of God, look at this, which he obtained with his own blood. He purchased it with his own blood. So why are we so special to him? Why are we a called out people? And this little assembly, just you and me. Oh, the Nazarenes are the same way. And believers are the same way. And glad tidings is the same way. But I'm talking to us today. It's because he purchased us with his own blood. Individuals, every single one of us, all by ourselves, were purchased with his precious blood. So I took it seriously, and he began to send the people, and the people took it seriously. The first people that came in, it was amazing. I mean, we just took it all seriously, and we began to talk about vision that was way out there. We talked about vision 4 years before it ever got there, about the land and the church, and started a building program. And that will save that. I said, I'm saving a lot of things for 25, so I better quit talking about it. But anyway, we took it, and we took it very seriously. And I was talking to Sarah a little bit about this yesterday, saying, you know, this is a big day for us, and I need to say something, and I don't want to bring a big old horrible message. And I just so appreciated the common sense and the wisdom that came out of her. And she said, well, Mom, you know, we are a church that has kept a standard. You better say amen. We have kept the standard, Mom, and we've held it, and we've not run with every fad, spiritual fad, that came along. You watch churches jump on this train and that train and this one, and whatever's being said, whatever's cool at the time, that's what they're doing. But she said, Mom, we've kept the standard, and we didn't move them out of the way. And then I thought, no, we haven't moved the landmarks. Landmarks. People know things about this church, that they can come here and get certain things. And so I don't mind that they do that. It's not saying we've got anything more, but maybe they know there's a standard here. And they come in, or they'll meet me privately, and I'll say, no, I recommend you go back and get, you know, you go talk to your own pastor about that. But there's just some things that you cannot remove, the old ancient landmarks. There's a lot of churches today removing those pillars I talked about, removing the rapture of the church. They don't want to believe in that anymore. They don't want to believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. That's old-fashioned, Pastor. You'll lose half the people if you teach that. Many don't even believe in divine healing today. So we haven't removed ancient landmarks. And the prayer cloths, who does that? We do. Every now and then you'll come and ask me for them. I give them to you privately. You take them to your place, business. You'll give one to your relative in the hospital, but we still use them. There's certain things that we do. We've lifted up a standard, and we have provided a safe and a stable place. Now, let me tell you about a church that has a pastor that holds a standard. You won't always have everybody's favor. Everybody may not like you. And, you know, everybody's not just going to think that you're the sweetest thing around. Because you've just got to be as solid as a rock and say, Jesus, I have put you first. I serve you first. And I'll look at the people and look after the flock. But I'm still going to stand for what's right and what's wrong. But I believe that we have provided that solid rock place and stable, safe place where you can come in and you'll feel safe and nobody's going to point a finger at you. We've shared so many blessings with each other. We've shared so many special events, and we've shared the beautiful salvations. There were so many people that came in, gave their hearts to Jesus. Some sat here today, some are still at home. But they found Jesus here. And there's a special bond with those who find Jesus in a certain church or with a certain person. We've shared those salvations. We've shared in water baptisms. You've got pictures. I'm amazed that when we do baptisms, how you stand up and applaud, and everybody wants a picture, and you may not even know them. But you want that picture. I love seeing the people of God pour out their love to each other. And then those are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The great outpourings we've had over the years, where we've had people just fall out under the power and get in the river. And you say, well, I don't see anything going on right now. Well, it's not your business to do. It isn't my business to do. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And believe me, He knows when a wave goes out. He knows how long that wave's going to go out. But He knows when He's getting ready to send that wave back in. Amen. You know what? I was at the beach not too long ago, just 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I watched these little rookie surfer dudes and these little guys get out there on that surfboard, and they just work their little tails off, or their arms. Work their little arms off trying to get out to ride that wave. Man, here come this little wave about that tall. And then they'd get ready, and you'd see them, they were getting ready, and they'd jump up on it, and then they'd crash. They just couldn't wait to run. They just couldn't wait to surf. You see the old dude. I like to watch him or her. And they just paddle, and they get out there, just ride that wave, just enjoy those big old bumps of water that would come over. They say, man, that was good. Ooh, that was good. Feels so good, just rocking me. Some of them, you just about go to sleep out there. It felt so good, just rocking along. All of a sudden, you thought they forgot about it, but all of a sudden, here came this big old bump of a wave about this tall. And then they'd jump up on you. You'd see them start getting up. I'd say, babies, watch out here. Look, look, Ainsley. Look, Parker, they're getting ready to jump up. And they'd just do everything. Then they'd just get ready. They'd ride that old wave all the way into the shore. And they had a big ride. I mean, they had a long ride. I said all that. Y'all didn't get a thing. Okay, let me explain it. So, who said patience? Don't start with me. Okay, so, yeah, the old guys had patience to get out there. So, but you've got people in the church, in the body of Christ. You'll see people today all over want to do what the little brother Joe's doing, what sister Susie's doing. And man, they'll jump out there, wear their little selves out, trying to get out there on the wave. And they'll ride that little wave in, crash, nothing happened. Ride that little wave. Woo! I tell you, you ought to see what our church is doing. Ooh, ooh. I said, okay, I'll wait till next week. Yeah. Ride that every little wave. Ooh, the prophet said. Ooh, this said. Ooh, that said. Meanwhile, we're just out there riding along. Yeah. We know the tide went out. Am I embarrassed? Not one bit. No. Not up to me when the tide goes out. God said that tide a long time ago, but when the tide goes out, believe me, church, you know what's getting ready to happen to the body of Christ? For those, as you said, are patient. For those that are serving the Lord because you were intimate with Him. Because you don't want to leave any soul behind. Because you were living your life holy. Because you were living in the will of God. You're just going to ride until it gets out there. And you're going to keep witnessing. And you're going to keep loving. And you're going to stay in the water. And you're going to stay in the river of God. All of a sudden, you're going to start getting up. I see the body getting up right now. We're getting on our board. And we're getting ready to ride that wave all the way in, church. That's the kind of church we are. So if you're jumping on those little boards, you just go on, have yourself a party. But for us old folks, we're just going to stay on it and ride. God, excuse me, so I'm going to get thrown off the air for this. But you know, today you're seeing all these little bunny rabbits and little puppy dogs jumping up and down and worshiping for 2 hours, and worshiping to the music and shouting and dancing. Then you hear, she got pregnant for it. What? He had a cussing fit and he hit her. Like, dude, you better get back on that board. You better keep your little hips on that board until you get all the way out there. And then you ride the wave on in. And then we'll talk about it. See, jumping little puppy dogs and little bunny rabbits don't do much. Unless you're worshiping. Well, I'm beginning to dabble. What did I tell you I was going to tell you about the church today? Whew. Help me now. So anyway, we do share, and we've shared in the outpourings, and we're about to share in one of the greatest. And we've shared in baby dedications, and we love those, and we've got a whole bunch more babies. Babies are in the house right now. We've got some brand new babies in the house. Come on, let's honor them today. And we share in weddings when people get married, and we're getting ready to have one come up next month. And we share in funerals, and our ladies take care of the funeral people and provide food, and we do everything that we can. I've watched as we rejoice with each other and we cry with each other. Whether you got a brand spanking new car or you got a car that was 20 years old but is sure better than that 40-year-old car, we get out there and rejoice with you. We'll anoint it with oil. If I can get out there in time before you leave, and we'll anoint it and pray over it and share in that beautiful new red convertible Mustang. We'll share with you. And that beautiful red SUV, we will share in whatever you have. We will share when you're crying and you're weeping and you get a bad report. We will share in that. If we know it, you got to let us know it. See, James 5:14, the Bible said, if there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray. And let them anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And if they've committed any sins, I'll forgive them too. But first he said, I'll heal them and then I'll forgive them. But you know, the church today must not know that verse, because sometimes people will go all the way through surgery and we never even know about it. And well, I'm private. Well, go ahead. You be private. But we would pray for you if we know. And we'll anoint you with oil and pray and believe God. We've furnished houses. We've helped people find jobs. We've given Christmas gifts and food and provided Christmas trees. Oh, there was a while where we started paying Edison bills, and we were going broke paying people's Edison bills. Pretty soon I started saying, you better bring that Edison bill to me and let me see it. They were getting pretty padded. Now that was way back there. You kind of live and learn. So pastor said, look, let's start giving just maybe a $50 gift card to help them on that. So, but anyway, we've done so many things over the years. And people have come and people have gone. People have come, people have went. And you know what makes me excited is the people that are gone right now. Many have gone into ministry. Many are pastoring. Many are evangelists. Some are even global evangelists. And I thank God for those that were here, some great teachers, great pastors. Some have gone to other churches to be a part of the ministries. Nevertheless, we're a revival church. And so they've taken that seed of revival that they got here, and they've taken it over there, and they've spread revival in the hearts of those people. So I can't tell you how thrilled I am. That was one of my prayers in the beginning, that we would send out more pastors, preachers, teachers, and evangelists than anyone else. But the only thing I didn't know as a young person when I prayed this is that they're going to leave you. And I thought, oh, shoot, Lord, I didn't think about that. So you lose a lot of good workers, but still you got to give God praise because it's a wonderful thing when they go to work elsewhere. And there are some people that got upset and left. I mean, they just took off. And then when they wanted to come back, you know what you all did? You know what I did? Our arms were open. We brought them in. We loved them up. We hugged them. No questions asked. We didn't ask no dumb questions. We just loved them, welcomed them, and just as though they had never left. They're part of the family. They're ours. We just love you. You come back when you want to. We love you. So I can remember, though, I got to be honest with you. I can remember in the 24 years where at three different times I have asked people to leave. I had to ask them to. And believe me, they weren't. Because they were just being rowdy, or they were being fussy, or they were being hateful. There were major reasons why I asked them to leave. One time I did it in front of the whole church, and then when they left, I broke down and bawled like a baby. It's very painful to do those things. But Paul said in the book of Corinthians, you got to put them out lest they cause corruption among the body. And I remembered Acts 20, chapter 28, that said, you guard yourself and you guard the flock and you watch over the flock. And if you see a wolf come in sheep's clothing that could harm the people, you put them out. Paul said, put them out and then mark them and tell the people not to speak to them. Now that's how hard he was. And you know what? I told you, don't talk to them if you see them at Walmart. But you know what you did? Oh, we miss you so bad. Because your love was so big. Now, I know it's hard to do that, but Paul was a tough man. And so we had to do that to protect our church, to protect you, and anything that could hurt the anointing, we protected it over the years. So if you haven't understood, that's the reason I did it. And I, you know what? And I'll give you this. I give myself this. There's been times where I've shared things with you that maybe I shouldn't have. No, I won't say that. I'll say other pastors would not have shared that with you. But if it was a big old thing to where I had to ask that person to leave, I remember one incident. It was so big and it could have been so damaging to us, to this house and to our reputation. And I called a meeting that morning and I called everybody in and I called this person's family. They had no idea what I was going to say. And I called them in and I said, look, I got to share this. I'll never forget the pain. I mean, for weeks, that thing stayed on me. It was so heavy. It was the worst thing to have to ask them to leave. I love them so much, but I could not do that. And I told you all, didn't tell you everything, but I told you some of it. There's been a couple of times, probably other times where I've told you, but I've always tried to be honest with you. and not hold anything back from you that you needed to know. There's times on Wednesday nights where I'll tell the Wednesday night crowd, because we have guests and different people here on Sunday mornings, but I try my best to stay true to you and true to my calling, to watch over me, to watch my ways, to guard me, and to watch over you and guard you. And you know what I love about you? You've learned to do that too. You guys will, you'll stop somebody's gossip. You'll stop their trash talk in a moment. You'll say, oh, that won't go here. I love it. I hear you doing, you don't go here. Don't you ever talk with a blabbermouth or somebody you hear. I don't think we have much of that here, but if we do, you know how to stop it. And I sure thank you for doing that. So anyway, not everyone has been allowed to stay. Crickets. Not everyone. I know that would be something you want to clap and, oh, goody, goody. But you know who taught me that was a great preacher, Church of God preacher, had a big school of ministry in Russia, Bert Clendenin, pastor down in Waco, Texas. And I said to him, we were doing evangelist services with him down in Chino. And I said, Brother Clendenin, what would you contribute to the success of your church down there in Waco? Because it had grown to about 4,000 people. And he was very Pentecostal at heart and had great roots and just straight as an arrow. And he said, everybody's not allowed to stay that comes. He said, my sister, there's going to be times you'll have to deal with stuff to guard the flock, to guard a cancer from growing among your people. And he said, don't you dare be afraid to do that. You get them out, because remember, you're taking care of them, you're taking care of the others. And so we've done that, and used to, I would put out all the time, and I don't sit much anymore, but if you're not nice, you can't stay. Well, it goes a little beyond being nice, but anyway, we've got rid of one sheep in wolf's clothing, and I told him he was in front of all. He was trying to hit on the women, whether they were married, young, or old. I prayed about that, felt my heart pounding. I said, Lord, if he's here on Wednesday night, have him sit on the back row. He was here, and I had him stand up. I called him by name. I said, everybody look at him. Y'all look at him. You women, look at this dude. Didn't say it like that, but I said, this man is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we asked him to leave. And the ushers ushered him out. Well, again, that was a hurtful thing. And so I, oh God, oh God, oh God. You know, if you do things and you're alone, you think, did I do right? Did I do right? And then you might hear a little whispering over here or there. Well, one brother came to me and one time, I said, well, how about mercy, Pastor? I said, oh, no, 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 no. Jesus is a God of mercy. I'm not giving this man mercy. Yeah. You know, he was, no, no, no. So later on, I said, Lord, would you let me see that that was right or wrong? And he'd gone to a doctor's office downtown. Doctor's office called me and said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, I believe that you know I know so-and-so. Why do you ask? Because he's been coming in here for a certain problem, and he's been hitting on all the women in here, bringing them candy and flowers and blah, blah, blah. And so they put him out. They said, we heard you ask him to leave. I said, yeah. And they said, well, our doctor said, if you did it, we're sure going to do it. So those things are not easy. Do you think I should have saved that for number 25? No. Well, talk yourself into it and talk yourself out of it. Well, and we've shared some of the most beautiful events, man. We shared the fair, we shared the Harvest Carnival and Easter and great dinners and our school, the Landmark Academy, and our Bible college, and so many beautiful Christmas concerts and ladies' meetings and men's. We've just shared so many beautiful things, and we've been so blessed to serve together in the things we've done. And by the way, we did all those things for free. And the Lord began to deal with me and say, now, is that evangelism? How many people have you won by doing all that? And we started looking, and no one followed us home from the fairgrounds. And nobody followed us home after filling this whole thing with little children at Easter and giving things away and then some. There was nobody that came, and the Lord said, okay, you touched the community, but it hasn't been evangelistic. See, there's sometimes where it doesn't sound right, but we've become more of a presence church than we have a program church. And that's okay, too. Most churches, I won't say most, many churches are program churches. And for the past 5 years, we've just not been. And you know what? Sometimes I get a little embarrassed of that, a little ashamed of it, but I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not going to. That's the way it is here right now. So y'all pray for me, okay? I mean, I'm serious. So we've shared so many things, and over the years, you know this is true. We shared so many beautiful moves of God and beautiful revival services. In fact, last night I did a little count of all the services we've done for 24 years while we were doing. We used to do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then we had a prayer meeting for about 10 years. So if you include that with the two meetings we have now, Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and you can compare that, add it up with all the evangelistic services we've had. Now, just my guess and my calculation was about 4,900 and something sermons and services. When you're faithful and you've been here, most of you were, almost 5,000 services you've been in these 25 years, 24 years. And that's not even talking about the 10 years before that I was on the road doing five services a week and the services you went to at your church. So thank God for that. I thank God. And I wanted to introduce you to all kinds of anointings, not just one kind. We've had the old Pentecostal shouting Pentecostal preachers. We've had all them. We had them shout at us, spit on us. We love that. We had them whisper to us, talk to us, all kinds of things. And I've always told you, now, don't get caught up in the way they say it. It doesn't matter how they say it. It matters what they are saying. Mother Evans, one of my precious mentors that mentored me, she used to tell her people, she said, I believe that some of you folks, she goes, oh, Brother so-and-so's up there preaching and says he isn't saying anything, but you all just be out there amening him, shouting and throwing things at him and, you know, all those kind of things. And said all he's got to say is bacon and eggs, and you're just, rah! And she said, I've about had it with that. If I hear him saying nothing, you all up there screaming and shouting, you just better stop. And so I taught you all a long time ago, you listen to what they're saying. Pay attention, take notes, and make sure what they're telling us is the truth. Amen? Did I tell you that? I know, we've got some new ones. Let me just mention a few of the great ones I've brought in. Some of you might say, who were they? Many of these were the fathers and mothers of the great Pentecostal moves of our generation. Where, I mean, we're blessed to have, this was the very, where'd that pulpit go? The big pulpit we used to have right there. They stood behind that pulpit. John Kilpatrick was here twice. The father that hosted the greatest revival of our generation at Pensacola. We had Steve Hill, who preached that revival. We had Steve Hill twice. We had Lyndall Cooley, who brought the music there. We had Reverend R.W. Shambach, who was a household word over the years. A great miracles, worked with A.A. Allen. We had Rodney Howard Brown twice. We had Harold Woodson, who was Rod Parsley's evangelist. We had Darlene Bishop, Steve and Kathy Gray, who hosts one of the greatest revivals that's still going down in Kansas City. John Jacobs and the power team. Joan Hunter, who is absolutely miracle powerful. Judy Jacobs, a great singer. And Becky Fender, one of the most awesome singers in America and great demand. Samuel Rodriguez, that you see all over TV right now. Martha Minucci, one of the greatest worshipers of our time. Tommy Tenney, who was used as a great revivalist. Sometimes I'll tell you about some of his meetings. We had David Binion, his wife and him, the Binions, you see many times worshiping on TBN. We had James Payne, who comes off of TBN, working on the Love Network right now. Of course, our Wayne Neal, who was with us for 6 months in revival. And how can we not say Helen Trowbridge, who's been a blessing to this house, who goes around the world. Also, we had from Argentina, the great 15-year revival Conrad Lampen. And when he came, that's when the gold dust came. We had a move of gold dust that came and went. You say, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. We saw it. In fact, Lynn had it on her. Were you guys at Denny's that night, or was that another couple? Anyway, the gold dust came on Lynn that night. It was, I think she was the first. And the gold dust came on Thad and Stacy's little girl, Jessie. She was just a little tiny girl. I was telling the kids about her yesterday. And I was over at Santa Barbara with my mother. And we were in revival meetings. They were awesome with Conrad Lampen from Argentina. And he was just telling us about it. And so Thad called me that morning and he said, Pastor, where are you? You've got to come over here. And I said, I can't. I'm in Santa Barbara. He said, well, little Jessie just got up and he said, she has gold dust. He said, it looks like somebody dipped a paintbrush in oil and dipped it in gold powder and just painted her little cheeks and her eyebrows, and it's coming out her ears. Well, there were some things that happened in that family as a result of that. That was a real miracle. So we saw those things come, and we saw them go. And we didn't get upset when they left, but we welcomed them when they came. We're thankful when the move comes, but when it goes out, it just means something better is coming in. Amen? So prepare yourself, church. Hallelujah. And we've not been a church of ups and downs. We just haven't. We've stayed the same. We just don't jump on everything that comes along. As I said, we just stayed committed. We're just old even Stephen. I don't care about jumping up here so high and being on cloud 9 1 week and then so low you can't see me the next. You know, if you come up here and you're dancing, you better just keep on dancing. Just keep on. It doesn't mean things are good with you when you're dancing. Doesn't mean things are bad with you when you're dancing. It just means my dance is before the Lord. So I'm just going to keep on dancing. When I come in here smiling at you all happy, doesn't mean everything's perfect in my life. It just means I love him and he's good to me. And I'll just be and let him be everything he'll be to me. There's just things that happen, church. But I love it that we pray together and we fast together. You all came out this week. I believe that this week, these 3 nights of prayer and fasting we had were some of the very best praying sessions we've had together. I mean, you all prayed. You prayed when you prayed. I mean, you prayed the word. You prayed the house down. We prayed for the issues facing America. And there's times, like I said, I know when things needed to be private and when they don't. And I'll carry things. And I'll say this. I'm almost done. But one of the hardest times for me that I've ever gone through, so much losing Rick and Jamie, that was in a whole class of its own. And I believe that was a process. It processed me for being here, this church being here. And you all have processed. I was thinking about you and how many of you have processed. You've been through most difficult things. And we've always come out better. Every time we went down, we always stood up, tried like gold, and we all came out better. And I was with you in a lot of different places that you were in. But the hardest time for me was when I stayed down pretty much at Porterville Convalescent Home, for 2.5 years with my mother. My mother was blind from macular degeneration, totally blind, and was starting to get dementia, and she was heavy, and so we couldn't handle her at home, but she was there. So I had to go all the time to make sure she was taken care of. My first stop there was at 7 o'clock in the morning. I would go on my way into work. I would go in there at 10 o'clock, and Linda, thank God for my sweet sister-in-law, Linda would go and feed her at noon. I'd feed her breakfast. I'd go back when I got off from the office at 3, and then I'd go back at night. My last stop was 9 o'clock to put her to bed, or go down at 5 to feed her again. So, you know, that was very, very hard for those years, and I pretty much just had to let you go. You know, I mean, I would come in here, and my mind was mush, and then I would have to try to find the word, and God was gracious to me, and I must have had some things stored up. He was just good. And you all rode that storm with me, and you were concerned about her, about Mama. And you were so sweet to me. And Lyndall and Dania, I think, were here taking care of things. But I'll just be forever grateful. for the times like that. That I know I wasn't worth a flip to you. I wasn't worth anything. Because it was tough. And the hidden things you go through when you lose people in the church. And I don't care what you say, man. They tell me they're leaving. I get up and get my oil. Lindo's a witness. I bless them and anoint them and send them. I send you in Jesus' name. I didn't want to ever send anybody off with a curse. But I always send them off with a blessing. I'd bless them and send them. And then go home and cry my eyes out because they left. And then when you said something about it, I said, oh, it's okay, you know. They're just going off into ministry now. We're just going to support them. Let them go. We got to just stop the bus and let them off. Lindell reminds me of that. See, you get it into your people. We're just driving the bus, Pastor, until somebody leaves him. And he's like, oh, how could they just walk out of me? Lindell, you're just driving the bus, dude. You know. But thank God we remind each other. Lindell's been a Debbie, a husband to me sometimes. And support, and I appreciate the support. And Sarah, again, honey, I just appreciate you so much. I love you. Thank you for the support and your love. And Linda, my sister-in-law, been with me since I was in third grade. And the respect. She still respects me as a pastor. Both of them do, not just a mom and sister-in-law. Linda has cleaned my house over the years and seen my dirt. And yet she still respects me and loves me. And all of our ushers. I love you, Brother Randy. I love you, Brother Phil, at home. His immune system's so low, he can't come out. But Brother Phil, we love you. Lori, we love you. All of you that do so much, the band, I was thinking of the band and the musicians and the singers. You all are just plain old faithful. I mean, you've just always been here, and these ushers are just always here. You girls that take care of the funeral dinners. I don't have to say anything. Lori, you're just out there. And the rest of you come in and act just like they do. Mother Garcia coming in here, went 45 years to a Spanish church and came in here with us. How did she do that? How did she do that? Must have been the Spirit of the Lord. Well, anyway, I've been in hospitals with you. I've been there for your dying loved ones. You know, I sat there with you, and you all too. I was with you when Daddy was dying and Mama was dying. Nobody else was there. When the baby was dying and we went over there and prayed and God saved him. I've been there to pray you through. I've been in jail cells with you. I've been talking on that phone through the glass with many. Been in your kitchen and even went to the barnyards. Thinking of that one this morning. This couple came and asked me, said, listen, our little granddaughter's got a big old hog that's going to be in the fair. Y'all know who you are. You remember. And they go, she's entering. She's got a 4-H pig. And said she's going to enter it in 4-H, and we want her to win the grand prize. Would you come over to anoint that pig? And I was, sure I will, honey. Just pick me up at the church. I don't know where they live. And so they picked me up. They weren't kidding, and I knew they weren't kidding. So I got my bottle of oil, went out there to the barnyard, and there was the corral where the pig was. The big old huge pig. Looked like he could have jumped over that fence. He'd come out. And so I got my oil, reached down there. I said, come on, y'all, let's pray. Anointed that old sow, whatever it was, behind it. It was so soft, behind his ear. I'll bet that was the only pig in the world that's ever been anointed with oil. And we anointed that pig. And can you believe he won grand champion? That pig won grand. Aren't you glad, Grandma, Grandpa? I know y'all are cracking up, but you know it's the truth. And I didn't let you go. I hung on to you when you were going through what you were going. I did not let you go, and I hung on to you with bulldog faith, and many times you didn't even know it was prayer and singing. And I love this about you, Landmark. I love this about you. You walk in forgiveness. Isn't that one of the best things we could ever walk in? This is a church. This is a church, I can tell you, we walk in forgiveness. And we walk in love. And we will forget it as though it never, ever happened. Because we love you. Because Jesus forgave us. So what are we dare going to hold against you? Look what we've done. And he washed us. So hallelujah. We've gone through the deep waters. You all been through some stuff. You all been. I mean, if you had a mic, you could tell us where you've been. Deep waters, but you didn't drown. You went through the fire, but you didn't burn. You were knocked down and thought you were knocked out, but you weren't destroyed. You just jumped up. Said those on the right and left, they may fall 1,000 times, but you'll just get up 10,000 times. You'll just get on up. Hallelujah. Woo. And we've experienced financial difficulties that were just out of this world, I'm telling you. But God held it all together just like he does the universe. He held his church together. And he provided for it sometimes, most of the time on the last minute. But he provided and he has blessed this house. And I'll be forever thankful for that. So how did we do it? Because he loves the church. And that scripture in Acts 20:28 said, if I don't build it, the church is built in vain. But he said, I gave my blood for it. He gave his blood for it. That's how we did this. Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, oh, you'll build it in vain. But see, people don't understand what it takes to build a church foundation. I mean, it takes a lot to build a foundation of a church. Man, it's blood, sweat, and tears, and then some. There's a price to be paid. So anyway, thank you guys for sticking with me. Thank you for your faithfulness and your love and your support and encouragement. I so appreciate it. Brother Art, I just want to say to you, thank you so much for that little text you sent me the other day. He sent me the sweetest text. It was about this long. And for Art, that's not very long. But you know what? It was full of love and it was full of encouragement. And I just can't tell you how that blessed me. And it came just at the right time. And I so appreciated that. So I love you guys so much. And can I read you one psalm? I know we're getting away with time. But I want to read Psalms 144 to you because I want you to, you're going to need this later on, so keep it. I want you to turn to Psalms 144. Wonderful Jesus, thank you. Okay, I'll close with this, Psalms 144, and I'm going to speak the blessing and then I'll let you go. Psalms 144, verses 1 through 3. Blessed be the Lord my rock. You can read it to me if you want to. I think we both got New King James. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, read it with me, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Now I want you to read with me. Verse 11 through 15. Just get it on down there. Stand with me as we read this. Let's stand for the reading of this word. This is actually, my Bible says, it's a song to the Lord who preserves and prospers his people. He has prospered us. He has held us together and blessed us. Let us read together verse 11, starting there. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Let us just stop right there and say that's the mess in the world right now. Okay, that's the mess in the world. Let's read that again so we'll know. Verse 11. Rescue us and deliver us from the hand of foreigners, who speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Why? Why, Lord? Okay, grab this by faith now, verse 12. That our sons may be as the plants grown up in their youth. And why? That our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style in great beauty. Woo, look at verse 13. That our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. That our oxen may be well laden. That there be no breaking in our going out. That there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God
is Lord.
Amen. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. May our sons and daughters grow up like styled pillars in a palace. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you again, Lord, for a sweet and a mighty and a powerful and a solid, a stable, undivided body of believers, the church. Thank you that you shed your blood for us. Thank you for what you've provided for us here at Landmark. I thank you, Lord, for the worshipers. I thank you for those that will pray. I thank you for the finances. I thank you for every seed that was sowed today in this offering. I thank you for the tithers. I thank you for the blessers. I thank you for the support. Thank you for those that are home today watching. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Come on, put up your right hand and receive a powerful blessing this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord cause his face, turn his face toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. May the blessings of Abraham be upon you. May the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 bless you. May you be blessed when you come in and when you go out, blessed in the city and blessed in the field. I bless you this day, O Landmark. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you so much. Thank you for what you gave me today. Thank you for the roses. I love you all. God bless. By the way, when you go out the doors, look, we had our windows tinted out there. And it's not even hot. It cuts down on the heat, and it's not so light and bright. It's like having on sunglasses. And so pray for the little remodels we're doing. We'll have that all fixed up very soon. Love you. God bless. Happy anniversary, everybody.